Good afternoon and welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I have to excuse me. I'm surviving on airborne Robitussin. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, some kind of chewy vitamins my kids are giving me. Have a can of Lysol in my back pocket. It's that time of the year. You know, I was down in Charleston last weekend for a writer's convention and was in all the rain and the flooding. And let me tell you, it was bad. I've been in Charleston before on really high tides where I thought I could drive my boat from, you know, backside of Sullivan's Island, you know, across to the mainland or whatever. But I have never been down there in a situation where I thought I could drive my boat from somewhere outside the Charleston jetties to Columbia. It's just amazing how much water. It's still there, too. That's the thing. If you look at any of the videos, the water, once it gets to the low country, it's just going to sit there for a while because there's no gradient. There's no, unlike up here where it kind of funnels off, and that's why you have those flash floods. I mean, it's just spread out all across the low country. It's going to take us some time to get up underneath this one. Anyway, it's a great day regardless. A lot of people have lost a lot of things. But we're a strong state. You can look back at our history and know that. We'll recover. I'm sure all those people in the low country would appreciate your prayers and you know, whatever you can do. And this show's going to be a little different. We're not going to have a count. We're going to have a caller. A good friend of mine from Charleston is going to call in from Hadrill's Point, Scott Hammond. And we're going to talk a little bit about fishing down there. But the second and third segments of the show, I'm going to have the American Red Cross from Charleston is going to be on the air with me talking about what's going on, how you can help down in that part of our state. And then third segment of the show, I'm going to have a director from the Salvation Army in Columbia to talk about what's happening in Columbia right now, how you can help. Because these organizations, you know, they were there on the ground. They've been helping people from day one. In addition to just regular people going in with boats and kayaks and, you know, helping people get out and all. And we take care of our own, which is a really good thing. But, you know, these organizations are there for the long term, and that's what we need to think about because a lot of these families have lost everything. They're going to be out of their houses for who knows how long. And so we need to be prepared to keep the support going for a while. So with that being said, let's talk to a good friend of mine. First time on Woods and Water, South Carolina, but you know, over the years, we've had some great conversations. We agree on a lot of things. When we disagree, it's pretty violent. But, hey, Scott Hammond, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Roger. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing fine. How are things down there, bud?
Well, other than the rain you just sent my way, you know, because you didn't like my Clemson jacket or something like that at all, we're doing great, man. We're finally drying out down here.
Good.
And believe it or not, even with the vast amount of fresh water running down the rivers and everything
right now, we're
actually experiencing some fantastic fishing as we speak.
You know, I had a bunch of people asking me this week, what's this going to do for the fishing? I had somebody wanting to go fishing down there, and I just don't think I said, I don't know, so that's why I called you. So the fishing seems to be pretty good.
Yeah, it's been very good, and what you're going to see is you know, it's kind of like you can use it a little bit to your advantage, whereas especially with fish like, you know, our spotted sea trout and all that are, you know, not very tolerant of a lot of freshwater influence and all that.
Right.
So these fish, they're usually spread anywhere from the jetties or way up to Cooper River, way up to Wando's and stuff like that. Well, you know they're not going to be hanging out up to Cooper at Bushy Park because you put a live shrimp up there, you might catch a catfish, but that's
right.
Probably about it right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, a lot of this fish are really being flushed down closer to our inlets, our harbors, and things like that. And so it's really creating quite a good bite down here close to the coast.
Very good. What about shrimping? Is shrimping done for this year? Bait trimming.
Depends who you ask, buddy. Right now, as we speak, they're still catching good numbers.
Really?
You're definitely, you know, my prediction, I'm certainly not the expert on it, but I have been around it a long time.
Right.
Is I think you're going to see by the middle of next week and stuff like that, it is going to start to taper off somehow.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
My recommendation would be get to getting while the getting's still there. Because our water is slowly turning to sweet tea each day that goes by right now with all that fresh water coming down.
Yeah. And it's going to come down for a while.
It is, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh,
I mean, it's been, people are already talking about you can taste the difference in the water and the harbor and stuff like that, which is why, you know, the big bull redfish or trout and all that, they're absolutely on fire around the jetties and all that because, you know, it doesn't necessarily tell you where they will be, but it tells you where they won't be.
That's right. That's exactly right.
With all that fresh water. So you can't use it to your advantage.
Hey, y'all got a little thing going on here for the next month that's, you know, it's in that spirit of naming a tournament for what it sounds like, what's going to be. Tell us a little bit about Capture the Convicts.
Capture the Convicts. And what it is we've started between the two Hadrell's Point stores and all.
Okay.
It's going to be a four-week-long tournament, and it's going to run October 19th to November 15th. And basically what it boils down to is going to be 100% cash payout. Every dollar that goes into the pot will be paid right back out to the winning anglers and all.
Okay.
And, you know, it's going to be $20 per week for the person to fish. Now, that being said, they can fish 4 weeks. They can fish 1 week if they like.
Okay.
Half of all the money registered for that 1 week goes into the weekly winner. So if Roger Metz has the biggest fish for that week and all that, and there was 100 people in there and all, that's $200. He'd have $100 back to him and all.
Now, that would not be me.
Hey, blind hogs find an acorn every now and then, buddy.
I don't catch sheep's head with a flip.
I resemble that remark a lot of times. But, you know, it's 100% payout, $20 per week. You can fish 1 week or 4 weeks. But just by fishing 1 week, it entitles you. You are qualified to win the grand prize at the end, which is half of the money from each week that's collected between all the anglers is put into the grand prize to the biggest fish at the end of all 4 weeks and all that. So it's a cool way that you can fish on your own schedule.
Yep.
You know, there's no real pressure because it's not a high entry fee or something like that.
Right.
You can fish 2 days in the week. You can fish one. You can fish five.
Right.
It's irrelevant. All you have to do is weigh that fish during regular business hours.
Don't have to worry about T-shirt sizes or artwork or
exactly. Our whole goal is just make it fun, simple, very cut and dry, and something that will appeal to the common working man where it does not have to be on this Saturday at this day, no matter what the weather does and stuff like that. It enables people to, you know, fish around their time off instead of when the tournament says they have to fish. So it's really a fun little deal.
It sounds like it. I am not a sheep's head fisherman.
You know. We can get you started on that.
Well, I mean, I fish with one of the best, you know, John Fuss. You know, he catches some monster sheep's head, but not when I'm with him.
You know, he does tell me, though, that often you make a pretty good net man. I think that's why he brings you. He said, you know, you make a nice net man and all that. You grab the dip net for him every time he hangs a 9 or 10 pounds.
Oh, yeah. He can. to be such a little guy, he can get some big fish. You know what?
Oh, he's a great one, man. He's one of my best friends, and he's definitely one of the best we have around here. There's no question about that.
How's y'all's hunting season? We've got about 2 minutes. How's your deer season going down there?
Deer season's going pretty good right here on the low country. The rut's actually in full swing and all. You know, just like other parts of the state, we do have a few areas still under a temporary closure,
right,
which, in my opinion, is a great thing.
Great thing to
help protect what we love so much.
Yep.
But all in all, it's been a good season. You know, we're starting to see a lot of the deer shift over to the live oak acorns that really started dropping at the end of September and all. But, you know, the rut's really kicking into high gear right now and all, and we've seen a lot of beautiful bucks coming through and pictures of them and all. So it's definitely going well for us right now, buddy.
So people can stop there and get their thermocells they forgot back at home, pick up fiddler crabs for the Capture the Convicts tournament and anything else they need to fish, right?
Absolutely, buddy. We got them covered from licenses and all that stuff to anything you need hunting and fishing down in the low country. We will take care of you. If we don't have it, you don't need it.
Don't say that. My wife will hear that, and you still got a catalog back there, right?
Of course. Okay. Of course.
All right, buddy. Well, look, thanks for coming on the show. We'll get you on again. These meetings going on and all that, I'm still going to try to get together some good input on the new deer regulations, and you're going to be a part of it, so I'll be in touch.
Absolutely. I'd love to, buddy, and we appreciate everything you do, Roger. Keep up the great work, pal.
Thanks a lot, Scott. Take care.
Roger, you too, buddy.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Scott Hammond from Hadrell's Point. You know, if you're in Charleston, you know, they just opened up a new Field and Stream. They got they have a Cabela's yet or a Cabela Bass Pro. Somebody's coming. But, you know, you got Hadrell's Point in two locations. You got some other local shops. When you go down there to Charleston, the knowledge is in these local shops. It's not going to be at the box stores where they hire just whoever they hire to put behind the counter. The knowledge is going to be in these little local shops, and that's where you need to go. So, hey, if you're ever down there, stop in Hadrell's West Ashley, see a little guy behind the counter, say, "Is Scott around?" That's him. Tell him I said hello. Coming back, we're going to talk to Red Cross out of Charleston. Hang on through the break, and I'll see you on the other side. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We're waiting on the Red Cross to call in. This is another good friend of mine, Jennifer Heisler. Hopefully she'll be with us in just a few minutes. A couple of notes. You heard him talking about shrimping. Don't exactly know what's going to happen with that, but as that water goes in, it's going to tail off pretty quickly. DHEC released a statement saying that they are closing clam and oyster harvesting areas. I think those things opened like can't remember when they opened. They might not have opened yet. They might still be. But anyway, they're closing it because of all the rainfall from St. Helena Sound, including the Coosaw River, to the mouth of, including the Bull River, then continuing north to the North Carolina state line. The closure will remain in effect until sampling results indicate that bacteria levels are suitable for shellfish harvesting to resume. As you know, shellfish, like oysters and all that, they filter the water. And so when it's a lot of, can we say it otherwise, junk in the water, they're subject to a lot of that too. So we're waiting on Jennifer, but let me, I do have a few things to go over. You know, I checked their website, and the Georgetown Wooden Boat Show still says that it's going to happen next weekend. I really don't know how that's going to happen with all the water they're going to deal with, but you know, that's a big deal for the Lowcountry. So if you had plans to go, then you might want to still check it. I don't know. There's also a fish, fun, and food open house in Charleston at the DNR offices out there on Johnson Road in Charleston, so the Marine Resources Center. You might want to check into that one, too. That's going to be a free day. It's a lot of different things out there on James Island you can take advantage of. Touch tanks, knot tying, talks on shark. They got the virtual boating simulator there. Fishing and casting basics for kids. So that's going to be on the 24th. So like I said, I really gave up on the calendar events for the next few weeks because a lot of things are being canceled across the state because of the rain. So just anything that you heard me say in the past or these two things, check carefully to make sure they haven't been postponed. And we've got on the line with us a friend of mine. Jennifer, I was looking back. I think I've known you for about 6 years now. Is that right? About right?
I think so, Roger. It's been quite a few years now.
It has. Real quickly, before we get into what she really called for, if you want a neat weekend in Charleston, Jennifer has a 38-foot Californian that you can rent and stay on it, and it is really cool. And that's how I met Jennifer, staying on that boat up at Isle of Palms Marina, then at Charleston Harbor Marina Resort. Now you got it at Bowhicket, right?
Yes, indeed, Roger. You got to come down and visit me some more.
I need to. Let me tell you what, in the cold winter months, sitting out there and looking over the water is just it's a really neat way to see Charleston, staying on a boat. So and you can go on Airbnb and look for Horizon Seekers. That's right.
That is right, Roger.
That's it. Okay. Well, back to the real meat of the story here. What, man, y'all had some rain, 24 inches right there in Mount Pleasant, 17 Somerville, Charleston 16. I mean, I was down there all last weekend. How are y'all doing?
It's a bit wet down here, Roger. In fact, you know what? We just had another storm front move through today.
When it rains, it pours. I hate to say that.
It really does, yep.
Now, you're a spokesman with the Red Cross there in Charleston.
I am. That's my day job. I know, Roger, you were talking about the boat, but my day job is actually working here at the American Red Cross, and I'm based in their Charleston office.
What is y'all's mission? I mean, I've never had somebody from the Red Cross on this show before, so kind of give me what the mission of the Red Cross is, just for people up here who are listening, and then we'll get into what they can do to help you directly there in Charleston.
Sure. You know, the Red Cross, we're here to help folks in South Carolina. Right now, because of all the flooding and the rain and everything that has been happening, we're providing all kinds of emergency assistance, so things like safe shelter, meals, support, health services, cleanup kits, anything that you might need because of this rain, the Red Cross is here to help.
You know, you kind of get used to those high tides every fall. If you live in the low country, you're used to a little bit of water in the backyard. But this is over and above that. Do you know how many people are displaced right now in those low country counties?
Well, we had over 400 people spend the night, Thursday night, in Red Cross shelters across the state in South Carolina.
Okay.
And, well, here in the Lowcountry, we've actually been able to close a couple of our shelters today, which is good news because people are able to get back into their neighborhoods. The floodwaters are starting to recede.
Okay.
But, you know, with that comes a whole other dynamic of things. It starts to be the cleanup and how, what services are they going to need? What assistance do they need to be able to get back into their homes and fully recover from the flooding?
And it's gonna be a long recovery.
It can be.
Yeah.
You know, we really are. We're only about a week into it, a little bit over a week now. And Columbia, we still have quite a few shelters open in that area. And it's interesting because we have such a diverse state, and you know this, Roger.
Oh, yeah.
The different hunting and the different fishing opportunities out there.
Right.
Well, we at the Red Cross right now are providing different levels of services in different areas, just depending on what that specific community needs right now.
Any estimates how long this is going to go on? I mean, when a disaster like this takes place, of course, since Hugo, we never had anything this bad. How long are y'all going to be, supporting people, having shelters open? Any idea?
We're really not sure right now. It really depends on what the floodwaters do over the next couple of days. We know the Santee is still rising, and Edisto obviously has overflowed its banks, and you know, the waters are draining from Columbia, heading down here towards the Lowcountry right now. But really, I mean, the Red Cross is going to be here, and
Right. Most
people might not think about us, but here in South Carolina, every day the Red Cross responds to disasters, things like home fires or
Right. Teaching
first aid and CPR classes. So, you know, we're your Red Cross. We're not going to go anywhere. Whatever it takes to help people recover, we're going to be here for them.
And that's what people need to realize, that y'all are here every day. But in a situation like this, you're expending a lot of both your capital and your goods and services and all that. How do people up here in the upstate that are listening right now, what do you need most? Do you need people to, you know, there are lots of people saying, okay, I'm getting up a truck bed full of water. I'm going to take it to the Lowcountry. Of course, you can go online and donate directly with your cash donations. What do you need from people right now? And then what will you need with people going forward? Because I guess y'all have to restock your supplies too.
We do. Yeah, one of the best ways that people can help in the upstate area right now is actually by donating to our Red Cross Disaster Relief. And that goes to support disasters big and small, like these floods here in South Carolina. I know that a lot of people have really stepped up and they've wanted to donate goods and so forth. And what we do is we actually work with a bunch of partner organizations in the community to be able to accept those goods. It's just a matter of making sure that we have the right items in the right place at the right time for the right people, and that's where the Red Cross really comes into play. But we do have a partner agency, and you can actually go online. It's NVOAD.org if you do have goods that you want to donate, and they'll help. Those community partners are the ones that we work with day in and day out to make sure people have what they need.
Okay, very nice. Having a little hard time hearing you, so if you can get a little more closer to the microphone or speak a little louder.
Oh, sure thing. Sorry about
that,
Roger.
That's all right. So the best way is just to go online and donate directly your cash, and then y'all take that and use that for what you need.
We do, yes. Okay. We have actually served more than 42,000 meals and snacks since this began last weekend and handed out more than 4,600 relief items here in the state of South Carolina. So we've definitely been busy, and we've moved in Red Cross workers from all across the U.S. In fact, Roger, I met one from Alaska the other day.
Oh, no.
Yep, I was like, oh, welcome to the Lowcountry.
Yes.
Very different down here. It's a little humid, a little warm.
So when something like this happens, you have certified Red Cross volunteers all across the country. Do you put out a call and say, hey, anybody wants to come? Or do these people just say, hey, look, this is my specialty, I'm coming? How does that coordination happen?
It's actually pretty interesting, Roger. One of the things that we did in the early stages, and the community really stepped up to help us, is that we asked actually four people from our local communities if they'd be interested in helping us work at a shelter, work in damage assessment, looking at homes and figure out how people could be helped. And so the community stepped up and helped fill some of these roles for us. And then in addition to that, we actually put out a call for specific skills within our existing volunteer set. We say, we need to move an emergency response vehicle here.
Okay.
We have more than 20 of them on the ground in South Carolina right now.
Okay.
We need a team to staff that. So we put it out, and someone that's a certified driver can come ahead and bring that emergency response vehicle to us here.
That volunteer process, getting certified and all that, is that something they can start there on the website, or they need to contact a local Red Cross office?
Actually, they can start it on the website. They can go to redcross.org/South Carolina. And register to become a volunteer. All training is free, and we have about 4,000 volunteers across the state, and they are absolutely amazing people, Roger. Just working day in and day out with them, amazing group.
One more time, what was the the partner organization you were working with?
Sure. It's actually NVOAD.org.
Okay.
And we'll make sure that we're able to post that for your listeners, too.
Very good. Well, Jennifer, take care of yourself. Appreciate the work you guys do. I know lots of people have said that Red Cross shelters open here, they're taking stuff down. Anything you need specifically, let me know. I'll put out a call up here and see if we can't get it filled for you.
Thank you, Roger. I really appreciate that.
You're
welcome. You know, I hope you're doing well too up there.
Yeah, doing pretty good. Had a little bit of rain, but nothing like what y'all have had. I was down there this past weekend, and I was down there for a convention, but I stayed because I didn't know if I was going to have to get my daughter, who's down there at college, home, you know, if they shut down things and the water fires. And I tell you, there were several times at night, especially Saturday night, I mean, you couldn't tell what was deep and what was in it. And at times I found myself in 18 inches of water.
Like, yeah,
it was really scary.
It's dark out. You can't tell how deep that water is at all.
And in fact, one of the worst places was in the Hadrell's Point parking lot.
Hey, I was there too.
I can't believe how deep that thing was.
Yes, I was there too.
No. Well, thanks for calling in, Jennifer. Appreciate it. And like I said, anything you need, just let me know.
Thanks, Roger. Thanks, everyone up there. Thank you, everyone, for your support, too.
Thanks, Jennifer. All right. That was Jennifer Heisler from the Red Cross. She's a spokesman there in Charleston. You know, she gave us her website. Right now, cash is probably the best thing to do. I encourage you. You know, there's tons of them out there. There's people taking truckloads of bottled water to the coast and all that. Be careful of some of them. I've already heard of some of these GoFundMe accounts on the web that are, you know, nothing but people taking advantage of the situation. I can set this up, pocket all the money, and people are generous. People in the United States and across this country, especially here in the South, they're just generous. When there's a need, we always step up and fill the need. But be careful when you go to donate. Make sure you're donating to a very reputable organization. Red Cross is one of the best ones out there. And if you're interested in volunteering and being certified and being one of these people they can call on, please do. These things happen all the time. This is one that's, you know, magnified because it's so much of our state. But I encourage you to volunteer when you can. Let's see. Boy, I need an airborne about right now. The Department of Natural Resources going on. I'm going to fill in some of these gaps with just a few more things going on. If you're a youngster who is interested in getting into deer hunting, the Department of Natural Resources, in association with the National Wild Turkey Federation, they're offering a youth deer clinic in Edgefield on October the 30th. It's a free clinic. October 30th is a Friday, if I'm not mistaken, from 8:15 in the morning to 1:30 in the afternoon in Edgefield County. Free clinic is for youth ages 10 to 17. Hands-on, you know, they were cooking. I went to this last year. They were cooking venison. They were climbing tree stands with harnesses and lifelines, very safe. They were learning how to shoot rifles. In fact, if you go to the DNR website and you look at this press release, they've got the young lady standing there with a target. Well, that's my picture. So it's kind of cool every once in a while you see where you've been and how much fun these kids are having. And then a little section on how to stay legal while you're hunting. First 15 students, you need to go to the website, get enrolled in that. I'll be there again. Great day, great facility. That National Wild Turkey Federation, they are going to be a player in not only in South Carolina, but in the national arena of shooting sports here very soon. And we'll have more of that. So hang on through the break. We're going to have the Salvation Army on after the break. Find out what you can do to help them out. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Be a little rainy out there today. It's one of those days to, my daughter likes to put it, to cozy up to the fire with a cup of coffee and a good book or a football game. We're kind of off the beaten track today. Not doing a whole lot of talking about hunting and fishing, although we did start off with a report from Hadrell's from the coast about, you know, shrimping and their little tournament and all. But what we're doing with the floods and all, a lot of people who have lost a lot of things. So we had the representative from the American Red Cross on last segment, and we're joined now from Columbia, South Carolina, by Major Roger Colson and Andrew McIntyre from the Salvation Army. Gentlemen, how are you doing today?
We're doing very well, thank you.
Very good, very good. Connection a little bad. Make sure we can hear you good. How are things going in the Midlands right now?
Well, of course, the Salvation Army in the Midlands in South Carolina, there are 20 feeding units across the state. About 10 or 12 of those, I think, are in the Midlands region itself. We have two teams that just came in last night that are folks that focus on spiritual and emotional support. And, of course, because of the size of the event, the Salvation Army Southern Territory has established an incident management assistance team right here in Columbia that's overseeing the relief work of the Salvation Army all over the state. And, of course, we're very fortunate because of the impact in the Midlands, and especially in Columbia, to have their expertise. There have been folks with feeding units coming from Georgia, North Carolina, and several of the South Carolina units. In fact, one of the units is from Greenville, South Carolina, that's down here working.
Very good. It's a neat thing about the South and our state. When something happens here, we're the first ones to just dive in and start helping each other.
Absolutely. There are a lot of neighbors here that even before organizations could start their engines, neighbors were helping neighbors. And so once we were involved in the relief work, there were a lot of people doing good. And we keep reminding people that they know the Salvation Army was here before the storm, and we're obviously going to be here long after the storm work has concluded. And with flooding, unfortunately, that sometimes can be a protracted event. And, of course, right now you can't see it, but it's raining pretty hard here at the location we're at in Columbia.
Yeah, I was looking at the radar earlier. It's raining here. It's kind of just pivoting right on top of you guys right now.
Right.
And
it's pretty hard.
Yeah, and that's just not what we need. Well, I kind of started you off with a bang. Please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do with the Salvation Army and a little bit about the Salvation Army, if you would.
Well, Andrew McIntyre is the public relations volunteer disaster person for the Salvation Army here in the Midlands, and I'm the regional coordinator,
okay.
Major Roger Colson. My wife and I are Salvation Army officers or ministers, and we normally, our regular job is the work here in the five counties. But right now, we're all working very diligently to provide support. Right now, it's in the response phase.
Right.
And we're doing a lot of feeding.
Okay.
Andrew, you can tell them a little bit about what you did during the storm itself at your job site.
All right. So at our job site, we're working closely with local authorities at the county EOC, Emergency Operations Centers. And we actually have another personnel established at the state EOC, helping the local authorities or state authorities be able to assist people and be able to help out with the logistics aspects and making sure that we're working alongside those folks, make sure we get canteens in those areas that's kind of hard to reach so we can assist the people that may need food and spiritual assistance.
Do you have any clue how many meals y'all have served so far?
The last time I checked, it was well over 20,000 meals and as many snacks and drinks. You actually are able to go to one of our websites,
www.disaster.salvationarmyusa.org, to receive more information about the numbers of meals, snacks, and drinks that we've been able to serve people, as well as just the number of hours that officers have put in over time throughout the 10 days helping people with spiritual assistance.
That's an aspect. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Quite an impressive thing. The numbers are going to keep going up, because now we're able to get our feeding units into some of the hardest hit neighborhoods.
Right.
It's safer now. And again, I think in some of the areas, schools are going to continue to be closed. And as things progress in that way, we continue to look at ways that we can get to folks who perhaps are beginning to get a little desperate. But the message is there's hope, and help is here, and the help is going to stay here as long as it needs to be here.
Salvation Army is a little different from most charitable organizations. That y'all focus a lot on the healing part of it, the spiritual healing, the support, and that sort of thing, not necessarily just the monetary side. Tell us a little more about how you do that.
Well, the Salvation Army is a church. We're in 167 countries around the world. It's similar to Wesleyan Methodism or the Nazarene in theology, but
okay.
We do what we do because of our relationship, our spiritual relationship, and so we help people without regard, without any kind of discrimination. We just want to get up and do good. Our sort of banner theme is doing the most good, and the way the Salvation Army is able to accomplish that is because of Salvation Army folks. So we have volunteers, advisory board members, all sorts of people who partner with the Salvation Army to accomplish the work that gets done. And especially at times of disaster, every person is important. Those that are getting their hands dirty and able to get out there on the front line, and especially those folks who can't travel and go to those locations or who aren't able to give up their time, but they give up their other resources, their financial resources.
Right.
And those are so important because the people of South Carolina right now are hurting, and they need us to be there for them and to provide the resources and the feeding, the other types of things that down the road will be needed to help them get back on their feet and to be back to some sort of new normal, if you will.
Right.
It may not be the same
right
quickly, but we're going to get through this together.
We will, and we appreciate you being there and helping our whole state, essentially, in this one. I know y'all are based right there in Columbus. You've got them all across the state, just like the Red Cross does. How, like I was discussing with the Red Cross lady, you know, people say, oh, I'm going to load up a truck of water, I'm going to take it down there, go volunteer. What's the best way for people to help the Salvation Army with your mission during this time?
Well, during this mission time right now, what we're really focusing on is feeding a large number of people. Like Major Colson was saying, we have 20 canteens that's out and about right now in those difficult and hard-to-reach areas, and not even just difficult hard-to-reach areas, numbers of different areas where people are being able to be fed
okay.
and receive water and snacks and drinks. So we're out there now, and those canteens are serving the communities, and so we want to thank the people who want to help us. But in addition to that, we would ask those folks to call the number 211 to be able to see more information about volunteering in the long run, because
okay.
we're going to need those volunteers to help out, not now, but in the future,
right.
as things kind of die down. And we want to make sure that safety is top priority for volunteers right now, but in the future, we want to make sure that they actually are able to help us maybe serve meals or help out our family store in those types of areas, because those sources have been available prior to the storm, and they're going to be there long after. So we're going to need volunteers to help in those areas.
And, of course, while it's sometimes hard to imagine, we have to remind people that we appreciate the monetary donations because that enables us to spend those dollars in those hard-hit areas.
Okay.
And that helps those local economies and gets people back to work. And it, again, gives individuals the opportunity to be more able to choose things that are of their personal needs. And we appreciate everything people are doing. If people want to donate, they're able to call 1-800-SAL-ARMY. And make a donation. If people want to look at other information about the disaster, the South Carolina Emergency Disaster website is an excellent resource
okay.
to check in on. It's changing constantly, and that's helpful to people that have been impacted that need assistance, but it's also helpful for people to realize what's going on and to help coordinate things that they'd like to do to make sure that they're going to be appropriate and that they're able to do those things at the right time.
Well, gentlemen, I appreciate you taking time out of your Saturday to be with me. I appreciate the information out there. We appreciate the work y'all are doing with those areas, especially there in the Midlands that just got really taken by surprise. I was in Charleston. I knew, you knew it was going to flood down there. It does when you get heavy rain. I don't think we had an idea it was going to be that bad there in the Midlands.
Right.
But we do appreciate.
I think you're correct. But thank you for having us today.
Yes, sir. Very much. And if you need anything, if you need a call for volunteers, please, you've got my email now, you've got my telephone number, please call me and let me know, and I'll try to round up some help for you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir, and we thank you for taking your time out, and God bless you both.
You as well.
You as well. Take care.
Thank you. That was the Salvation Army. I was looking to see the, it's actually SalvationArmyUSA.org. For the website, their locations scattered all over. You know, you said something interesting about the stores where they people come to get things to replace what they've lost. So I'm sure if you're in that clean out stage for fall or whatever, you know, I'm sure donations of clothing to the Salvation Army, I'm sure those will be distributed. And, you know, the kind of nice thing about it is it might not get as cold in low country. They can use those short sleeve t-shirts and all that sort of stuff, whereas we wouldn't be able to use them. So there you go. American Red Cross, Salvation Army. I thought it was appropriate with what we've been through to encourage you to give in our time of need. God bless our state. And hang on through the break. We're going to talk to recorded a conversation with Mary Rowe about the Palmetto Trails. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We had the pleasure this week of talking to Mary Rowe. Mary's been on the show before. She's deeply involved with the Palmetto Conservation Foundation, which maintains our Palmetto Trail. And I talked to her, so let's listen to what she and I talked about, and I'll be on towards the end of the show to close it out. Well, we want to welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina, guest we've had on before, Mary Rowe from the Palmetto Conservation Foundation. How are you, Mary?
We're pretty good. How are you today?
Doing pretty good. I guess we have to talk about the flood.
Yeah.
You know, when we scheduled this, it was going to be, hey, the mosquitoes in the low country have gone in for the year, and now you can just wide open, but we really don't know what's happening down in the low country with the trail, do we?
No, we don't. And actually, PCF is headquartered here in Columbia.
Right.
And so we're very thankful that all our staff are safe, and we're all fortunate enough not to be in some of the flood areas. We're back in the office today, and we are trying to get a handle on potential damage along the trail, really statewide. The trail is officially closed just for safety purposes. We can't get out there right now.
Sure.
And assess what damage to the trail might have occurred. I do know that our upstate trail coordinator was at Hospital Rock yesterday and did find some limbs and trees down blocking the trail. So that part of Hospital Rock will be closed, and they're going to address that this week. But in terms of our Midlands and our low country, we're probably looking at some severe damage due to the water, and our low country trail coordinator is going to go out next week. It's not safe yet to go out and assess.
You know, you talk about getting on the trail and assessing damage. You might have some problem
right.
getting to the trail. I mean, there are so many of those back roads that are, you know, I tried to come home 176 from Charleston Sunday, and it was closed
right.
there at Pomeria, and I know that's going to be closed because that bridge is out. So
you're
going to have
correct.
Problems getting to the trail, much less figuring out what's wrong with the trail.
Right, and that's why we posted that people, you know, might want to get out and get a little sunshine and turn to the Palmetto Trail to do that. Normally we love that, but getting to the trail, you know, we do have those back roads, and that's why we're not even putting our low country trail coordinator out
right.
until next week. You know, it's just not safe right now to go out and travel those roads. And so, you know, some of our trails, we have bridges and things. We need to get out
sure.
there and assess.
Yeah. Now,
so,
I guess to assess that, y'all will walk the entire trail?
You know, we have our trail coordinators, both in the upstate and the low country, and yes, they actually will get out and get on the trail and walk it. We also, you know, staff here, too, we'll get out there with some of our trail coordinators and help them assess. So, this is not the type of thing that we want people to go out and start hiking and you know, report back. I think the damage is going to be much more severe, and we want to keep everybody safe.
Sure.
So be patient with us. you know, we're a small staff, but we'll be out there next week going trail by trail assessing everything.
Now, when you do get ready to make those repairs and figure out what you need, will you post those work days and ask for volunteers to help you guys? I mean, this is –
pretty much outside the normal realm of maintaining the trail, cleaning up a few trees here and there. So will y'all actively ask for volunteers to come help you out?
Yes, we will. You know, we have partnered with the United Way, both in the upstate and the Lowcountry and here in the Midlands. So we're in their database, and we'll be posting specifically through them opportunities to get out and volunteer. And hopefully we'll be matched up with some companies in all those areas that are looking to help. But also on our website, we post volunteer work days. And as soon as we get all of that information, we'll have several of work days scheduled, and we'd love for people to come out. You know, the trail is only maintained really by our volunteers.
Sure.
Work days, things like that. So we're dependent on these volunteers. So yes, we will post it, and we'll be yelling, please come out and help us.
Well, I tell you what, it is right now, when you get that list ready and you have those work days, you call me, I'll get you back on the air, and we'll get that message out across the upstate.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. All right. Well, assuming the Lowcountry Midlands and Lowcountry Trails need some work, and
right.
those are closed for a while, and you decide
right.
we can open up the upstate, it's getting to be leaf season. I am sure there are a couple of spots along that trail that you just can't miss them.
Well, you know, you're absolutely correct, and what I'd like to share with your listeners today is actually the exciting news of our new terminus in Walhalla.
Yes, I saw that.
We have partnered with the city. They are very excited about, the Palmetto Trails coming into their town. So, you know, up there, the leaves are beautiful. We're all going to be up next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Walhalla for their Oktoberfest.
Ah.
And we will be helping them with their festival, but we're also, you may know, we have now the Palmetto Trail Pale Ale beer.
Oh.
And, we have a beer if you don't know about it.
I don't know about that.
Well, we partnered with RJ Rockers.
Okay.
They've created a Palmetto Trail Pale Ale. We released it in late August. And I'm happy to report that people are really enjoying it, and we're selling it all across the state. And we will be featured at their Oktoberfest, along with some of the RJ Rocker beers. So if you want to come out, come to that. We'll also be highlighting the trail that we're building up there, the trail that's going to go through their city and then up through Stump House. So we're going to have actually a guided hike that day. So you can go on our website and sign up for that hike and learn more about the Great Passage and what we're doing in Walhalla, along with getting a great hike next week, next Saturday, and see some great views and some great foliage.
And that's going to be the 17th?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We'll
encourage... And that's on our website.
Okay.
And you can sign up through us, and we'd love for you to come out and have a hike, and then join us for a beer.
Well, give us the website so people can go and see more information for themselves.
It is www.palmettoconservation.org, and I'm looking at it right now, and we're very pleased because it's a brand-new website, it's got all our information on it. But there's obviously some great other trails down in Landrum and down in Cross State Park, and you can really traverse from Ennery all the way up to Spartanburg, on up to Landrum, some of those small towns.
Sure.
Do a nice hike and then enjoy the small town restaurants and antiquing and other things. So make a day of it.
Make a day of it, and take the family, take the dog.
Absolutely.
Get out and enjoy the fall in South Carolina. There's no better place to be.
The whole trail, if we didn't have this storm, is just absolutely beautiful. The Midlands here, that Peak to Prosperity Passage, going over the Trestle Bridge
over
the Broad River, is stunning. And then, of course, getting down into that low country with the Ondaw Passage along the Intercoastal and all of that beautiful scenery there. Again, just stunning to get out. So we're hopeful that we'll get the trail completely open, and so people in our state can choose from any one of our regions.
Very good. Mary, we're glad you're all okay. Please
yes,
keep me posted as you find out what needs to be done. And like I said, when you get ready to have those volunteer work weekends, call me, let me know. We'll get you back on the air in a heartbeat.
I appreciate it, and thank you very much for always
yes,
highlighting our wonderful trail. Have
thank
a good one.
Same to you, Mary. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, boy. Just when you thought you could get outdoors and have some fun, you have a what everybody's calling a thousand-year rain, but it's actually I actually downloaded a good story about that. Thousand-year rainfall event versus thousand-year flood and what that actually means. It's WX Brad. I guess that's Weather Brad. It's a blog. He's got some really interesting points he makes in here, but it's really a percentage. Within any given time period, there's a 1% chance of a certain amount of rainfall, and it's a curve. If you like statistics, you would like this with, you know, the bell curves and all that. It's a recurrent statistic, and I don't want to bore you with this, but I thought it was very interesting. It goes in and talks about what's a thousand-year flood. And basically, what it boils down to is in a given time period, there's a 1%, or I guess a 0.1% chance of any given time of getting this much rain in a specified amount of time. But we did, and it ranges from 24 inches of rain over 4 days in Mount Pleasant to Savannah, Georgia, just got an inch. That's how, you know, very. And if you go to the Woods and Water South Carolina website, Facebook page, there's a 4 day radar loop that's out there that is, it's impressive. Nothing but impressive. We had a prior guest we had on, Mr. Thomas King. He wrote a book about waterfalls, and I have a copy. I haven't started reading it yet, but since you can't hike the low country, maybe you want to pick up a copy of his Waterfall Hikes of Upstate South Carolina and, you know, leaf season and hike around the upstate a little bit. Remember, if you are going hiking and you're on a state-maintained wildlife management area, which some of this Palmetto Trail does go through, some of these other trails go through, remember during deer season, you need to be wearing orange. It's a legal requirement, not just a fashion statement, just to be safe. One other item, Lake Hartwell Fishing and Marine on October the 31st is having a Mr. Hartwell Bass Fishing Tournament. It's just a local event down there in Lake Hartwell. If you're interested in that, please contact them for more information. Get involved. I'm not sure the details. I just saw the little message come through and figured I'd share it with you guys. Also, the American Bass Anglers is coming to Lake Hartwell for their national championship beginning on, I believe they're coming in the 18th. Something for you to think about. That's a working man's tournament. We're going to actually talk to Evan Boatwell with ABA on next week's show. He'll tell you more about that. And they've got a couples division for fathers, sons, wives, husbands, boyfriend, girlfriends. It's really cool, too. Chuck for this week. Chuck Norris has a dislike button on his Facebook account. Figure that one out. You know, we've taken a hit. We'll recover. Volunteers, you're going to be needed. Try to restore our state to what it was before. So don't take those back roads quite yet, but don't forget that camera when you get out. I'll see you next Saturday.